And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. My name is Josh Haston. This is Israel Uncensored on the landofisrael.com radio network. Thanks so much for joining us. It is the 4th of April, 2016. I am here in Jerusalem with my main man, Binyamin Breskey, very close to the walls of the old city of Jerusalem, really just down the street. Thanks so much for joining us. Don't forget, you too can be a part of the conversation. Get in touch with me during the week. My email is josh at thelandofisrael.com, josh at thelandofisrael.com. On Facebook, it's Josh Haston, H-A-S-T-E-N. My Twitter handle, at Jew of Zion. Thanks so much. I've gotten amazing, amazing feedback and responses from all over the world. I appreciate everyone who's listening. I've gotten several emails from Australia, the U.S., Canada, and here in Israel. Keep sending the emails. I'd be happy if you have anything to say, any comments, I'd be happy to read your emails here on the air. We're getting ready for the holiday of Passover. You feel it in the air. It is officially spring. We had like one last bout of winter, if you will, several days when it was cold. Now it's spring, getting warm. People are coming outside, out of their hibernation here in Jerusalem and in Gush Etzion and all over the country. We're feeling Passover in the air. The terrorists, you know, there was a little bit of a lull, okay? The jihadists, a little bit of a lull. Some people said that after the incident in Hebron, in which a soldier put the finishing touches on a jihadist there, but I think it's been about a week and a half or so. Since then, it's been relatively quiet. There have been some attacks. You know, some of the media reports that there have been no attacks. Let's not forget about the firebombs being thrown, the light rail here in Jerusalem even attacked by rocks. Just the other day, a petrol bomb's thrown at cars traveling on the Jerusalem-Adumim highway. So it hasn't gone away, even if the media is trying to create the perception that everything is honky-dory and everything's quiet. It's still going on. Case in point, yesterday here, mother of three in Rosh Ha'ayin, lightly wounded in an attack by a female Arab Israeli, and everything is on video now. You know, in this day and age of social media, people always have their video cameras out. This was caught on tape. Reut Weitzman, 30-year-old mother of three from Kfar Saba, the victim yesterday in an attempted stabbing in the industrial region of Rosh Ha'ayin, just off of the Highway 5 over there. For some reason, and I don't get it, at least as of just a few hours ago, police are not saying this was a terror attack. I don't get it. I mean, what if this wasn't an attack? I mean, I don't know what it was. What are they saying? It was criminal? Was she trying to steal her wallet? You watch the video and you'll see that this was definitely a jihadist attack. 23-year-old female Arab assailant from Kfar Qasim nearby attacked Weissman. And then you have a situation here, and this is what I want to talk about. You have other bystanders who are trying to neutralize this Arab woman. Apparently she had two knives. You have a chase caught on camera. Somebody tries to hit her with a car, try to neutralize her. Another person throws a rock at her. Eventually, a nearby security guard with his gun blazing came and kept the jihadist at bay, held the gun up against her until other authorities arrived. And that's great. That's fine. The situation was taken care of. Here's what I fear. I fear that because of what happened last week or 2 weeks ago in Hebron, that people are afraid to shoot, to use their guns. I'm not saying yesterday that the security guard needed necessarily to shoot, but in general, overall, are people now in Israel who are armed, legally armed, and walking around, whether you're talking about soldiers or civilians, are people now going to be afraid to do what's necessary if there's a situation when there's no other way to stop this jihadist other than shooting them? Are people going to be afraid? And only time will tell. We're going to see what happens. Yesterday, case in point, and I don't have all the exact details, but nobody there on the scene, according to this report by Israel National News, nobody was willing to shoot. That might be a problem. Maybe not yesterday, but maybe in the future, when it is necessary, it could become a problem if people are afraid. If people are more afraid of the ramifications of going to jail, of being in the, the eyes of the media, getting in trouble perhaps for using a firearm, even when it's necessary, even when there's no other choice, that is a major problem. And that really is why it is so disappointing, to put it mildly, that the media has put in such a focus on the soldier there in Hebron. I believe it's all related. He has been in the spotlight. Not the 34 victims, not the hundreds of wounded. They didn't get anywhere an iota of the attention that this Chayal, who is innocent until proven guilty, has gotten as a result of his actions there in Hebron, potentially. And his lawyers still insist till this day, we'll find out what happens, that he neutralized a potential, or he killed a potential bomber, that the soldier was worried that the man, the jihadist on the ground, the person who tried to murder, let's forget who he was, he and his friend who tried to murder a soldier there, he potentially could have been a risk still while he was on the ground moving. Maybe he had a bomb. And it's in the hands of the IDF courts right now. But it is in the spotlight, in the media, over and over every single day. It is in the headlines. I mean, listen to this, okay? Moving here to the Jerusalem Post. According to Reuters, Syrian troops found a mass grave containing around 40 bodies in Palmyra, Syria. This is an Islamic State stronghold there. They believe that the ISIS, or the IS, if you will, murdered many women and children. And some of the bodies were found without heads. They were beheaded there. 40 bodies in total in Syria. Now, why isn't this top story? Why is the UN threatening to open a major case, a violation of human rights against this soldier? Israel in the spotlight, front and center. And here you have these atrocities being committed in places like Syria by ISIS, beheading women and children. And that, people are looking the other way. But this one soldier, this one IDF soldier, top story day in and day out. Why the hypocrisy? Why is everyone focused on this Israeli soldier? Why aren't there war crimes? Why isn't ISIS being wiped off the map? Maybe Donald Trump, or who knows, whoever takes over in the U.S. there and leads the free world, maybe they'll take care of business. And again, I'm not endorsing. I just mentioned him because he's in the running. I don't know what's going to happen after November. This is the number one story. ISIS, they're not the JV team, despite what President Obama said. They are the varsity. You can ask the people in Brussels about that. But this should be the focus. At the same time, a would-be stabber was arrested in Samaria near the Tapuch Junction yesterday on Sunday, according to a police spokeswoman. Officers noted a suspicious Palestinian man walking toward a number of civilians at a hitchhiking post. When they asked him to stop, he raised a knife. Officers drew their weapon and arrested him. No injuries reported. Again, no shots fired. And I don't know. I don't know if it was necessary or not. But I just, there's an overall sense, I believe, here in Israel that people are afraid if you use your weapon, you will be in trouble. Like we're seeing the images of the soldier with his face, of course, blurred out on the media 24/7 here in Israel. That is a major problem. Speaking of the Hebron soldier, according to the Jerusalem Post, the IDF appeals court on Friday ordered the soldier who shot a Palestinian attacker after he was already neutralized. According to this article, he is confined to his base pending another hearing on Tuesday, which is tomorrow. The court's going to make a final ruling on whether or not to release him. Reported today, an autopsy. You know what that word is, Ben? Somebody who actually, coroner. Thank you, Ben Bresky. Without Ben, where would we be? The coroner, an Arab coroner who was involved in the process, says that it was actually the bullet fired by the soldier which killed the terrorist, which probably makes sense. I mean, you saw him moving on the ground. I mean, that then could actually assist the defense in the case in proving that he was a potential threat. So that's what they're saying. The IDF has not officially released their results of the autopsy. We'll have to wait and see on that. But here you go. Amnesty International. International Criminal Court considering maybe taking up the case here of the soldier. Other so-called human rights groups, and we have to take that with a grain of salt. Human Rights Watch for Israel and a place called Palestine, a fictitious land of unicorns, which doesn't exist, talking to Newsweek about how they wanted to get the soldier in front of some international tribunal, in order to punish him for alleged war crimes, etc. There are people being murdered by the dozens in places like Syria and Iraq, and all throughout other countries, Yemen, etc., people being killed and collateral damage in civilians. Yet this one incident in Israel is drawing the scorn of the international. You can't even call them human rights organizations. Their focus is on Israel nearly entirely. I mean, UNHRC, item 7, always talking about Israel. Another issue here is the soldier in question apparently is an Israeli-French citizen. So the French are all up in arms talking about how they want this guy to be punished as a French citizen. An incident taking place on foreign soil, even though he's a French citizen. We'll have to see how this plays out. Now, of course, the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, master chieftain terrorist over there, he's getting involved in all this, of course. Why not? A perfect PR opportunity for him to go to these international bodies and complain. At the same time, you have a United States congressman jumping on board, Senator Patrick Leahy, I believe it's pronounced, from Vermont, and 10 U.S. congressmen sent a letter the other day to U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, long before the Hebron incident, asking Kerry to investigate Israel over a disturbing, and this is his words, not mine, quote, a disturbing number of reports of possible gross violations of human rights, citing alleged extrajudicial killings of Palestinians by IDF soldiers. The letter also expresses concerns about abuses in Egypt, etc., accusing Israel and Egypt violating human rights, etc., etc. Our Prime Minister, PM Netanyahu, responded to the letter saying that his complaints should be directed against those who incite youngsters to commit cruel acts of terrorism. I'm curious. First of all, I don't know too much about Patrick Leahy. I'll have to do some research on him, and I have to find out about these 10 U.S. congressmen who are drawing their attention to the one and only true democracy here in the Middle East, Israel, while we are bearing the brunt of this knife war, social media war. I don't like to use the term intifada, being directed against our civilians and against our soldiers. That they're ignoring. That they're not talking about. Instead, they're making accusations. You know, how many people get killed in these U.S. bombs against, I mean, they're not doing that much against ISIS, but in Syria and Iraq, the collateral damage is you know, that is something that is unprecedented. That is something that needs to be brought up in an international criminal court or at the UN, etc. No, not happening. That's just collateral damage. Or when Muslims murder or massacre other Muslims, that's expected of them. That's called institutionalized racism. That's what that is. That's expected of them. But no, when a Jew kills, whether it's in self-defense or whatnot, jihadists, that we're going to bring in front of the world's eyes. And here again, extremely disappointing that this U.S. congressman and 10 others are more concerned about what Israel is doing in self-defense than they are to combat this international jihad. My name is Josh Haston. This is Israel Uncensored on the landofisrael.com radio network. Thanks so much for joining us. It is the 4th of April, 2016. We are in Jerusalem. Benjamin Bresky, engineer extraordinaire, is in the house. Without him, there's just no sound, people. Without Benjamin Bresky, no sound. A beautiful day here in Jerusalem. Get in touch with me during the week. Josh at thelandofisrael.com. On Facebook, it's Josh Haston, H-A-S-T-E-N. You can follow me there, or on Twitter at Jew of Zion. More headlines. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, this is unbelievable. Get this, okay? Reported here by Reuters. President Obama says that madmen must not be allowed to get nuclear material. The president of the United States, the one who signed an agreement with the Iranians, essentially allowing them over the course of time to acquire nuclear weapons, despite his argument that he signed a good deal, all of a sudden he is coming out against what he calls madmen getting nuclear materials. How ironic is that? According, again, to Reuters, U.S. President Barack Obama urged world leaders the other day to do more to safeguard vulnerable nuclear facilities to prevent, quote, madmen, groups like Islamic State, from getting their hands on an atomic weapon or a radioactive dirty bomb. Number one, again, I said it before, isn't ISIS, IS, aren't they the JV team? Why is the president worried about ISIS if they're not really a threat? He himself called them JV, junior varsity. Now he's going to call them out and say it's a danger if ISIS gets nuclear weapons. What about Iran, though? Iran, who you signed a deal with. The Ayatollahs are madmen. They are the biggest sponsors of terror in the world. More than ISIS, okay? They're supplying Hezbollah. They are financing and supplying weapons and aid and technology and what have you to Hamas, even though Hamas is a Sunni jihadi organization. Nevertheless, he doesn't mention anything about the Iranians here. He was speaking at a nuclear security summit in Washington. I mean, the irony here is just tremendous. Obama said the world faced a persistent and evolving threat of nuclear terrorism. Despite progress in reducing such risks, quote, we cannot be complacent. You can't be complacent. You signed a deal with the devil. What are you talking about? You can't be complacent. If Iran goes nuclear and threatens Israel and the U.S. or Europe or whomever, this was under your watch. You're the one who pushed this deal, President Obama. So stop talking about the threat of madmen getting nuclear weapons when you aided in that process. What hypocrisy here. Quote, there is no doubt that if these madmen ever get their hands on a nuclear bomb or nuclear material, they would certainly use it to kill as many innocent people as possible. It would change our world. Yeah, it would change our world. It would flatten our world. But you're the one who is enabling the Iranians to go down this path, which you're now saying is dangerous, I guess, when it comes to ISIS or other groups, but not the biggest threat that you have ignored. Not only ignored, I should say, you have enabled the potential for the Iranians to go nuclear. Obama was hosting more than 50 world leaders in this, his fourth and final summit, focused on efforts to lock down, according to this, atomic materials to guard against nuclear terrorism. This whole thing's a joke. I cannot even fathom, you know, what potentially they are doing at this summit in order to lock down nuclear terrorism when these same people are the ones who are enabling it. It makes absolutely no sense to me in this crazy world. Let's see what the U.S. voters do in November, okay? I'm not endorsing anyone here. I'm certainly not going to encourage a vote for anybody for a Hillary Clinton or a Bernie Sanders. Let's see what happens over there on the Republican side. I mean, I think that it can't get worse. It cannot get worse than Obama Part 3, essentially another Obama term, give or take, more or less, if Hillary Clinton is elected. I mean, who wants to go through that, 4 more years of that, or 8 more years, possibly, of dealing with these policies in which the friends of the Western world have become foes, and foes have become friends in this topsy-turvy world led by President Obama and John Kerry and that administration over there. I can't deal with another 4 years. I mean, my patience is running thin, and I think a lot of people feel the same way, and I think that's probably why Donald Trump is so popular, but we'll have to see what happens here. This is from the Mail Online, switching gears here. This is the story of a very sad story of Kay Wilson and her friend Christine Lucan, who was an American murdered by jihadists here several years ago, hiking in a forest in the hills of Jerusalem, I believe near Moshav Mata. And the story is the Mail Online, apparently this is like the most popular online newspaper out of England, from what I understand. Two Palestinian terrorists, it says, this published yesterday, who repeatedly stabbed a British woman in a brutal attack and killed her friend, are now receiving £9,000 in blood money every year with the help of UK aid. Okay, the attackers eventually caught, admitted their crimes, and they are being financed here by the United Kingdom. The attackers, those who carried this out. Miss Wilson, Kay Wilson, horrified to learn from news reports her assailants were being paid a monthly stipend. We're talking about £750. You know how to translate the pounds into dollars, Ben? I have no idea. We're going to have to do that off the air. Each of the two terrorists are being paid by the Palestinian Authority, financed by the government of Great Britain. Last week, the Mail on Sunday exposed how reward payments are going via the PA to thousands of terrorists and to hundreds of other prisoners in Israeli jails. This is no secret. We've known this for a long time, that the world community is standing with the Palestinian people. They say, oh, we must support them. We can't let their economy collapse. We have to just keep funneling millions and literally billions of dollars to the PA. Where's the money going? Is it going into building hospitals and schools? I'm not even talking about Gaza and Hamas. I'm talking about here in Judea and Samaria, in this region here. but the money is going to pay those who murdered and tried to murder people like Kay Wilson. She was left for dead. It's gruesome if you read the description of what was done to her, the repeated stabbings, and the bones which were broken, and she survived, no doubt, simply by miracle. She survived by a miracle. She played dead and somehow made it and managed to call for help. Her friend was murdered, and she's suffering here now. This was actually 5 years ago, but it is being exposed here. Let's see how the Brits go forward here in this situation, knowing that money they are giving over to the PLO slash the Palestinian Authority is going to pay, specifically pay, these two terrorists, jihadists, who tried to murder her and did in fact murder this American girl, a Christian woman, who they believed was a Jew. That's why they tried to murder them both. So let's see if the British government takes any action here. Switching gears just a bit here. On the political front, Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu, our Prime Minister, his coalition government is on its last legs. This, according to former Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman. He said this on Saturday night. The Israel Beitenu chief spoke regarding these criminal investigations targeting Arya Deri from Shas and Isaac Herzog from Zionist Union. We're not going to touch that today, but you can read up on the alleged criminal investigations, or they are criminal investigations, the allegations against them. Avigdor Lieberman arguing Netanyahu's already narrow government is too weak to survive this scandal. Remember, the governing coalition now has a 61-59 majority, a slim majority there in the Knesset. Lieberman predicting new elections by the end of the year. I'd be interested to know. We'll probably need to get somebody like Gil Hoffman, veteran political analyst and also soon to be host here on thelandofisrael.com. We got to get his take on the situation of the government. Is this just politics? Is he trying to create a, I guess, self-fulfilling prophecy here, Avigdor Lieberman? Or is there a chance here that the government, the Israeli government, is in fact going to fall by the end of the year? Time will tell. We'll have to see if Netanyahu can maintain his slim majority here. Switching again, U.S. State Department spokeswoman Elizabeth Trudeau told reporters the other day, the U.S. is concerned by Israel's recent demolitions of illegally built Arab structures, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. In other words, it's okay if Arabs build in Judea and Samaria, Area C, which is under Israeli military administrative control. In the eyes of the Americans, they're allowed to build illegally, and Israel should just let it go. Just let it go, no problem. I mean, we know the European Union, we see their flag on a lot of these structures there, illegal. They are violating international law by building illegal structures, not for Jews, only for Arabs. These are apartheid structures being built throughout Judea and Samaria. If you drive out to the Dead Sea, if you drive to Gush Etzion, you'll see these buildings with the European Union flags on them. But for some reason, the U.S. is concerned that Israel is doing what it has to do and demolish these illegal Arab homes. According to this report, Israel National News, from 2012-2015, the EU has built 1,000 illegal buildings for PA Arabs. The U.S. says Israel shouldn't get involved. Let those buildings stay, because it's not goodwill. It's not a goodwill gesture if you go ahead and carry out what is legal under your jurisdiction and destroy these illegal structures. Bad idea, Israel. You should not be destroying. You should just let anarchy reign, and the Arabs should be able to do whatever they want, build whatever they want. But if you're a Jew and you build a pergola in Gush Etzion or in Gilo here in Jerusalem, in that case, you deserve the scrutiny of the world. Here's some good news. Israel and China. You know, with all of the hate coming out of the European Union towards Israel, whether it's labeling dates which are grown in the Jordan Valley. I mean, that's what their focus is. You know why attacks happen in Brussels? Because the focus is on date farmers in the Jordan Valley who are exporting their products to Europe, and the Europeans are too busy worried about putting the word Jew or settlement or settler product on these dates. We're talking about dates, people. Okay, forget about jihad. Let's talk about dates. That's what their focus is on. And that's why things like what happened in Brussels and in Paris, etc., happen, because the focus is in the wrong place. But nevertheless, Israel is not isolated. Despite what you might be hearing in the media, Israel and China, according to Ynet, are increasing cooperation. We have friends, people. There are those out there, especially now if we're looking eastward, people who want to be friends with Israel. Israeli citizens, according to this report on Ynet, can now obtain a 10-year visa to China, joining a select group of nations with this privilege, which only includes the U.S. and Canada. Chinese citizens will be entailed to obtain a parallel visa to visit Israel. This visa agreement is very important, especially since next month, one of the Chinese airlines will begin its Hainan, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, will be flying directly from China to Israel, according to Haggai Shagrir, head of the Northeast Asian Division of the Foreign Ministry. So European Union, you can be labeling our dates and our tomatoes and whatnot and be busy with that stuff and trying to ruin the livelihood of Jews who live in certain parts of this country. Talk about racism and discrimination. Never, Israel's not going to sit still. We're going to look to the east. We're going to turn to places like China and Hong Kong and Japan and all these other countries, and we're going to build our relationships with them. And here is proof. Israel-China increasing cooperation. This is great news. Here's a picture of Chinese Vice Premier Yan Dong with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu. A recent photo of the two talking about all the things which the two countries can do to coordinate on business and entrepreneurship, etc., increasing ties with China. You know, I think we should probably, I mean, I don't know. Should we leave it on a good note like that? I mean, there's a few other things here. I guess we have to. I would love to leave it on a good note, but there's just other things I got to share, like, you know, BDS activists vandalizing ads for an Israeli exhibition in Paris. BDS, according to the J Post, activists vandalized signs on Sunday at Paris's Carousel du Louvre, if I'm getting that right, promoting an exhibit titled Open a Door to Israel. An Israeli exhibit vandalized, this is not surprising, there over in Paris. At the same time, Palestinian Media Watch, who does an amazing job, you should definitely check out their website. All they do is translate Arabic into English, so people out there who really believe that Mahmoud Abbas and Fatah are our peace partners can see what exactly is going on and see the support they're actually getting. According to this report, three UN bodies, the country of Spain and the Netherlands, are supporting a Palestinian NGO which honored the murderer of three Israeli civilians. And here, this report, check it out, April 3rd from Palestinian Media Watch. We won't get into everything here, but an event was held called a chain of readers. You know what that is, Ben? A chain of readers. Ever heard of this? It's when people sit in a line, like a long line, like, I don't know, 100 people, 200 people, and they're all reading books. And they just sit there in a long line and read books. And the books, of course, are these books of hate against Israel and whatnot, and call Jews certain names and all, you know, and that kind of thing. But it creates a visual, you know, as if this is some kind of beautiful, peaceful protest. Everyone's reading. Look how wonderful. Give a hoot, read a book. What do they say? Is that what Smokey the Bear says? Give a hoot, read a book? No, that's not what he says. But you know what I mean. Anyway, so they're holding this virtual chain of books, etc. And the event held, actually, sponsored by these three UN bodies, Spain and the Netherlands. What was the point of the event? It was actually to honor a jihadist who murdered three Israeli civilians. You can check out the details. It's a long report here on PMW, Palestinian Media Watch. But the bottom line is that the incitement continues. Honoring those who have murdered Israeli continues within not only Hamas, within the Palestinian Authority, within all types of levels. And this stuff is being supported and funded. These hate events are being funded by the UN Development Program, the UN Population Fund, the Food Agricultural Organization of the UN. The UN is funding this hate of Israel. And just one other example here in New York. This is in New York, according to the J Post yesterday. The UN censors Israeli exhibition featuring Zionism in Jerusalem. What's wrong with displaying your love of Israel, your Zionism? Nevertheless, there was a display of 13 different stations there, and three of them put together for an exhibition were disqualified by the UN because one was about Jerusalem, another one was about Israeli Arabs, and the third one was about Zionism. So I guess you're not allowed to speak about being a Zionist or displaying anything in relation to Jerusalem as a Jewish capital, our history to the city, the love of Israel, Zionism. these three displays within this exhibition censored by the UN. And this is in New York City. This isn't even this isn't in Paris, as we were talking about before. I mean, I know the UN is headquartered there, but you would think that in New York here. And then, by the way, this report here by the J Post talks about how these displays were also featured in synagogues, churches, campuses, community events all over the U.S. No problem. But when it comes to displaying anything positive about Israel or claiming that Jews have some ties to Jerusalem, if you say that, then we're going to take it down. We're going to censor that. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings by stating that Jews have been here for 3,000 years. Everyone prays three times a day. Everyone who prays three times a day focuses on Jerusalem, but we don't want to talk about that because we're the United Nations, so that can't happen here. Anyway, I wanted to finish with the China thing in positive, but there's just, you know, this BDS hate coming out of the UN. And we have to share that with our listeners. That's going to do it, I think, for today. My name is Josh Haston. Today is the 4th of April, 2016. Thank you so much for joining us here on Israel Uncensored, the landofisrael.com radio network. Get in touch with me during the week. I love reading your emails. It's josh@thelandofisrael.com or on Facebook, Josh Haston, H-A-S-T-E-N, on Twitter, @JewofZion. None of this would be possible without Binyamin Bresky, the man behind the scenes making all of the audio happen. Shout out to Ari Abramowitz, Jeremy Gimpel, Yishai Fleischer, all the Eve Harrow, all the other wonderful hosts here on the network. I am out. Most importantly, between now and when, please God, we speak next Monday. Everyone, be safe and God bless. Josh Haston signing out from Jerusalem, the eternal capital of the Jewish people. Everyone be well.